Hey everyone, Craig Baird here. Before I begin today's story, I want to take a moment and ask that you check me out on Patreon at www.patreon.com/CanadaEHX. There are several tiers with great benefits, from ad-free content to t-shirts and other cool stuff.
And I have plenty of wonderful merch in my store, and the link is in my show notes.
As well, if you're a fan of Canadian history, make sure you check out all of my shows, from John to Justin, Canadian History X, Canada, A Yearly Journey, and Pucks and Cups, along with Canada's Great War. And don't forget, you can also donate directly to the show at www.canadaehx.com. Just click donate. It helps keep this show going. Okay, on with the show. The community of Dunmore is in the territory of the Blackfoot people. The area was especially important to the Blackfoot as well as the Cree, as the bison moved through as they migrated to the north and to the south through the year. Nearby, there is Writing on Stone Provincial Park, which features centuries-old petroglyphs that you can explore to learn more about life before Europeans arrived. Today, Dunmore sits on the border of Treaty 7 and Treaty 4 land. Dunmore was born thanks to nearby Medicine Hat, which is only a couple minutes away. The CPR was built through and Medicine Hat was made a divisional point. As such, the hamlet of Dunmore sprang up. The CPR itself reached the future site of Dunmore on May 28, 1883, and the site was called Siding 14 at first. Later, the community was named for Charles Murray, the Earl of Dunmore, who was an early benefactor of the CPR. At the time it was founded, it was predicted to be the largest manufacturing city in the gas belt of southern Alberta. Of course, that would not happen, and today is a hamlet next to the much larger Medicine Hat. The pioneers of Dunmore came from many different backgrounds, and many were second-generation Canadians who migrated out from Canada. Others were Russian or from Eastern Europe, looking for cheap land and a better life. The first settler to the area is believed to be Dan Cavan, who worked for the railroad and liked what he saw, so he settled in the area. His son Henry was believed to be the first white child born in the area. In 1886, a narrow gauge railway was built to haul coal from the mines at Lethbridge, which greatly helped the growth of the small community. At the time of its founding, the main hotel in Dunmore was the Ford Hotel, which was quite extravagant for the small size of the community. It was at this hotel that two men, shackled together as they had been arrested by the Northwest Mounted Police, escaped out a second-story window and made a run for it. They had been sentenced to 5 years in prison for stealing horses, but after escaping they eluded capture for 2 years. I've spent most of my life living in rural areas in Canada, and I remember the days of dial-up internet and spotty high-speed service. Thankfully, I have been a customer of Explorer, and I can honestly say that it was the best rural internet I have ever had. My job as a podcaster means I have to spend a lot of time researching online, interviewing people over Zoom, and uploading content. Through it all, Explorer provided me with excellent service. When I was not working, I enjoyed streaming content on several streaming platforms, and even doing some online gaming with a friend in Ontario. Explorer allowed me to do all of that with ease. And right now they offer up to 50 megabits per second on their new LTE network with unlimited data. Their service has also only become faster and better. Today and beyond, Explorer is investing in building and upgrading the network at a rapid pace. Explorer is rural, and that is their route, and that is their focus. For more information about rural internet options in your area, go to explorer.ca or call 1-866-285-2253. The village quickly grew as more people arrived, and soon a store was brought in, run by Henry Stewart. At the time, supplies came from Medicine Hat by cart. In 1893, the gauge railway was leased by the Canadian Pacific Railway from the Northwest Coal and Navigation Company. The railway then rebuilt the line as a standard gauge line. There was no longer a need for the transfer of coal at Dunmore Junction, so the station was then moved back up the hill and buildings were demolished or moved to the new site. The station was then renamed from Dunmore Junction to Dunmore, while the post office retained the name of Coleridge because the town had been surveyed in that name. This meant that people lived in the town of Coleridge, but the district and the town itself was often referred to as Dunmore, and it would be 50 years before this confusion was remedied. As time went on, Dunmore gained connections to several major communities including Cranbrook, Spokane, and others, helping to fuel its growth. During those early years for the community, the railroad was the backbone of the community and employed nearly every working person. In 1883, the first church service was conducted in the community, and a few years later, the first school was built. And by 1914, it had a population of 400 people. The community has not become a major center, but it is an important bedroom community to the nearby Medicine Hat, and definitely worth a stop on any drive through the area. It's also the hometown of George Plews, who was born in England and moved to Canada in 1920, and he would come to Dunmore from Picture Butte and begin his employment at the Alberta Wheat Pool Elevator in Dunmore on August 1, 1929, serving under Norman Nelson. Plews would continue working at the elevator until 1931, when the elevator closed due to drought and poor crops. Unfortunately, this was 1 year after Plews married, and it was not a good time to lose one's job. The elevator would remain closed for the next 6 years as the Great Depression was raging through the area. In 1937, the elevator was opened and George was rehired. He would remain in the position until 1952, when the elevator was dismantled completely and moved to seven persons. From 1954 to 1956, he served as the relief agent for the elevator as he was posted at seven persons. In 1957, Plews would receive a gold engraved watch for 25 years of service to the elevator, and he had a banquet and was given a week holiday at the Palliser Hotel in Calgary. He would continue to help at the elevator over the years until 1965, when he officially retired. That year, he and his wife would be honored guests at a dinner dance at the Park Lane Hotel in Medicine Hat to honor his retirement. George was presented with a wardrobe suitcase by Robert Beyer, while his wife received a bouquet of roses and white daisies in a glass container. Several prominent people from the Alberta Wheat Pool were on hand to celebrate Plews and his life with the company. And even though he was retired, his love of elevators continued, and he would keep doing relief work when other agents were ill or on holidays until 1972. I hope you enjoyed that episode and our look at Dunmore, Alberta. If you did, please leave a rating and review. If this is your first time listening and you like what you heard, please take a moment and give us a 5-star review to help other people find these amazing stories. And there are so many you can sink your teeth into. We also love hearing from you, so if you have a show topic you want me to cover, email me at craig@canadaehx.com, or stop by my website and social media. I'll include all of those links in the show notes.